This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 301, recorded on March 16th, 2017. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. We had like 20-degree weather on Tuesday and like 60-degree weather or 70-degree weather today. Mike, welcome back to some awesome weather, and good to see you, Mike Weaker.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, the reason I missed this show is because I travel, and then I came back here, and you just gotta love Nebraska weather. No other place I've been to can you get all the different seasons in 1 week, but we definitely can.
Stupid,
so
ridiculous.
It's been nice.
I think we had an ice storm on Monday, technically.
Yeah.
Ice storm on Monday, but cold on Tuesday, getting better on Wednesday. It was 70 today.
Yep.
So it was a crazy, crazy day here in Nebraska. Of course, we post this show with world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. You can also join us live on our mobile app, and many of you are doing that now. We appreciate you doing that. Sponsored by LastPass. If you head out to homegadgetgeeks.com, really the best way to listen to our podcast on the road. It's just a great way to do it. Easy to get it streamed when it's working, and I don't forget to unplug the audio piece from it. It's working tonight, and we appreciate LastPass for their sponsorship of our mobile app. Again, you can get that homegadgetgeeks.com. And then don't forget that the Patreon link's available for you if you want to financially support the podcast. $1 and $5 plans out there. Appreciate there's, I don't know, we have 8 or 9. We'll maybe read those here at the end of the show who are supporting us now. We always appreciate that. Just kind of helps pay the bills. The link to that's on the front page of theaverageguy.tv. All right, fun podcast for you tonight. I think this is something you probably are not going to hear on any other tech podcast. I got an email a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a month or so ago, and ran across, and I put this in the chat room, but ran across this product called Ghost Browser, and we have Larry Kakoska. Did I get that right, Larry?
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
I got it. We have Larry here, and that'll be the last time I'm going to suffer with having to pronounce your last name. But Larry, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you coming out, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate the opportunity, before we get started, I also want to say congrats on your 300th episode last week, I believe it was.
Yeah.
That's quite an accomplishment. That's a lot of years. And
Larry, I've never done 300 of anything in my life. Never have I. This is the only time, you know you're engaged when in something that you're doing, when you can get that many. That's a long time.
You've done it now, and that is a long time.
It is. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We want to get to know you a little bit. We learned in pre-show you're out in the Denver area. You're kind of part of the startup community that is there. I actually envy you. If I could live, I love Omaha, and you're just down the road from us literally. But if I could live anywhere else, I think I would live on the Front Range because I love to be up in the mountains. As you can see, I love to be up in the mountains. But Larry,
the nice collection you got back there.
It's old. They're old, by the way. If you just look at them, you know they're old. But Larry, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your background, and how you got to where you're at today.
I actually started, I've kind of moved around all over the country, and that kind of started when I was a kid. But, I've done a lot of moving around and spent some time out of the country as well. I actually started after college as a teacher. I taught for 6 years. And was motivated when some of my colleagues who were approaching retirement age and making $50,000 a year sort of said, maybe I should consider a different field. So that's when I started kind of messing around with tech. And I had just gotten back from Japan after I lived there for 3 years and got back in 2001 after the big bust. So I kind of missed out on a lot of what was going on. And at that time, the school I was teaching at had just installed email for my benefit. They were very good to me, but that's about where we were at that time. While you guys had already gone through a bust back home, so I kind of missed that boat a little bit. But I definitely liked tinkering, and I hired a couple of agencies to help me build some projects, and then realized that that whole thing was a bit of a racket, at least in my experience. So decided that I wanted to start an agency myself. So I started getting involved in tech, and here we are about 15 years later. And, you know, and this is the thing that we're doing now.
Let's talk a little bit about that. So Ghost Browser, and I threw it in the chat room, but for those of you who are listening on the audio, super easy, ghostbrowser.com. Larry, there's plenty of browsers out there today, right? And the browser market doesn't seem like it's ripe for disruption in a lot of ways. Chrome has certainly become the favorite for a lot of, although I'm noticing a little bit of a resurgence in Firefox. Microsoft's making a run with Edge. So nobody else, there's a few else out there, but so what drives you to like, hey, I'm going to kind of reinvent the way, you know, I'm going to reinvent the browser or at least functionality in the browser. How does one get to that point where you're like, hey, I'm going to create a new browser?
I think the short answer to that is it's enough hours of struggling with your current browser to get your tasks done every day that makes you realize there's a better way. And that's sort of the how Ghost Browser was born. I've done a lot of work in building websites and have multiple user levels and building content for that, testing the content, queuing the content, all of that became very difficult because you're constantly logging in and out. So every time I had to, you know, I was getting to the point where I was just letting stuff go through because it was just too cumbersome and mundane to do the testing. So, and that's not good. So, I just thought there's got to be a better way to do this. And I had done things in the past where I would use multiple browsers to be logged in, or you can use, profiles in Chrome. There definitely are other ways to get multiple logins on one computer, but I needed it in one window. So that's sort of how the idea was born, and I decided that it was time to build it. So, so really, the short answer is I needed it myself. So
what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention, right? From that standpoint, I was really hoping Mike Howard would be out here tonight. He is a guy who has, and self-proclaimed. I'm not talking behind his back or trying to stab him in the back. Mike will tell you he'll have 60 or 70 or more. And actually, let's do a quick little survey in the chat room. So chat room, as you guys think about the browsers you have open right now, or the browser window you have open now, the number of tabs that you have open across it. I know just right now I've got I'm doing pretty well. I just have four. Uyghur, how many tabs you have open right now?
Three.
Okay, so we're doing pretty good. Let's do
it. But that's just rare because I close them all down to podcast. Usually I'm working with about, I'd say 10 to 15 is my norm.
Yeah, and I think I live in the world of 20. I think when I produce a podcast, I have 20 open. Larry, before the show, I confess to you, I have 7 Gmail accounts that I have to move in between all the time at work. I've actually separated machines at this point. Like, not even because, you know, when you're in development, sometimes you're like, okay, I'm going to do this in Chrome, but I'm going to test it in Firefox, and I might have another instance, right, to make all the logins work from that standpoint. When you went to this, certainly that's a feature. The multiple login feature is kind of, that's the very first line in your website. Is that the most important feature when you come to this browser? Is that kind of the most important feature that you camp on as far as why you did this?
Well, that's really the core of it. That's what drives it. And that's what makes it different from every other browser that's out there. But really, and we're still kind of new. We have some things coming down the pipe. But really what drives our decisions on what features to implement is productivity. My co-founder is my wife, and you know, we like to do things that don't involve sitting at a desk. So our primary focus is productivity. And if it's something that's going to help our users get away from the desk more quickly, we're going to implement that. So sessions, so these multiple tabs, we call them sessions with a capital S. We wanted to keep it clear because we have a lot of international users. So each session, it has a different color tab, and it allows you to log into one website multiple times. But then we also have projects, which is I wish Mike was here now too, because this helps solve the problem of tab load. So every project, you can save a set of tabs, and it will save the context that you save the sessions in. So if you, for example, I think I just lost you, Jim. Okay.
Oh, perfect. No, I went ahead and popped up your example there.
Perfect. Yeah. So let's take the classic case is Twitter. A lot of companies, or let's talk about Gmail. So if you want to, if you are good about productivity and keep those email tabs closed while you're actually doing work, then if you need to check in on all of your Gmail accounts, you can save a project called email. And then in that project, you can have 7 different colored tabs and be logged into those 7 different email accounts. And until Google kills your cookies, I don't know how long their expiry period is, but until they kill them, anytime you open that project, you're going to be logged in already to all of those email accounts. And the beauty of it, and so that's, you know, logging in and out of Gmail, they have a feature where you can select who you want to be logged into. It's a little cumbersome, but it's not terrible. But where you really get into a problem with a regular browser is when you switch from Gmail to Google Docs, for example. If you isolate your Google Docs or your calendar based on whatever those 7 profiles are, Jim, then sometimes you get the docs for an account that you don't think you're getting them for. You have to kind of keep track of which one you're logged into. So
it's particularly bad with docs. Like, I mean, that's where I've noticed it the most. And you're trying, and then it does these funky things where it's like, oh, did you want to sign in as this one? Did you mean this one? But that one's grayed out and it won't let you. You're like, yes, I did, but you grayed it out on me. Can you, you know, and then you have to log out of everything and log back in. I've been really frustrated with that. I think, I mean, this may be a great solution to be able, because I'm moving between those accounts all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. So, and you can, you know, the colors are helpful, but with 7 email accounts, it can still get a little difficult to remember what color is what. So you can actually rename the sessions too, so that you can give each color profile a name. So then if you save that into a project, that's always going to be there for you.
Yeah, no, that's great. So it gives me some opportunity to kind of get control over the browser. Let's talk about the browser itself. Is it just a reskinned Chrome, or what are you guys doing to kind of make this work, and what's the underlying kind of technology behind it?
So it's built off of Chromium, the open source Chromium project. I wouldn't say that it's reskinned. There's a lot more work that's gone into it than that.
Sure.
There are a lot of skins available in the Chrome extension store, but basically we've added this layer of control that helps you separate the cookie jars on top of the Chromium browser. That's basically how we've implemented it.
We practiced a little bit with screen share. Would you be willing to kind of flip on your screen really quick and maybe walk us through maybe a typical setup for you and how you open it and maybe get some things color coded? I'm actually using Ghost Browser for the notes tonight. So I opened that up, brought it over. So I have 2 instances of Chrome browser open, and then I've got Ghost Browser in between, working great. Okay. But here, let me flip over to you. And if you can share your screen and then share the active window, which would be the Ghost Browser window.
Okay.
Hopefully we can see that, and then you can kind of walk us through it.
Okay, let me pull that up.
Kind of always fun. I could stumble through it, but, you know, it's always nice to have a power user. While we're waiting for you to do that, we got some answers back from the chat room on the number of tabs they have open. We had Mark say 12-ish, Quasi at 7, Rennie at 5, other Jim came in at 25. Emily came in at 15. Peter came in at 109. So we have a winner. 109. Wow. Peter, how do you even know you have 109 open? There must be something you can click.
Is a quick counter.
It must be. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's, and I can't see the chat messages. So
I'm no, you're fine. Yeah. We'll bring the chat in if we got questions. You bet.
Okay, cool. So I want to ask Peter, how do you know what tab is what?
That's what that? Yeah, well, Peter, how do you know thing. And how do you know what's what? Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so do you have my screen up there?
Yeah, you bet, your main screen.
Okay. Great. Okay. Yeah, so this is just the basic functionality. So, you can see here I'm logged into 3 different Twitter accounts, and I just, if you saw when I was fiddling around in the beginning, then you see that I basically just opened the project right from here. So you open it up and there, and boom, there I am. I'm already logged in to different accounts. There's a Ghost Browser account. There's a WordPress plugin that is now defunct, but we did. And here's, I'm not logged in there, but let's get rid of that. Sorry, I know you're sponsored by LastPass. I hope
that's okay. Hey, we're equal opportunity offenders here, so it's perfectly fine.
So yeah, so here are the, you know, so you're logged into the three different accounts, and it maintains that context. So here, let's say I wanted to log into a fourth, I can duplicate this page with a new session, and it's all right in the context menu. So there's not you're not switching between profiles, you're not going opening up incognito. You know, it's one more click than opening a new tab. So it's right click and then choose this, and then there it is, and then you get your new color, and you can log in to whatever you want. So and that's really one of the keys. The simplicity of it in that sense is one of the keys for sort of promoting productivity with our users, because if you are fiddling, like you were saying, Jim, with trying to figure out which Docs account you're logged into, by the time you've figured it out, you've already kind of forgotten what you're doing, or at least forgotten the details of what you wanted to implement. So so we'd like to keep it nice and quick so that you can get on with the task you're doing and avoid the context switching that slows you down and increases your error rate when you're doing your work. So that's basically it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Larry, as a new user, just thinking, I'm jumping into this, and let's just say during the day, I've got a certain set of tasks that require two or three browser windows each, when I'm in those. Is the right way to do this then assign maybe those three tabs to a project, and then I can just open a project and it will also open those three tabs at the same time? Am I thinking along the right lines here?
Exactly. So it's about, yeah. So there are a lot of ways. So here, let me put this back. I thought you were going to ask if you could have it in different windows, and you definitely can.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that sort of gets into projects, and there are a lot of different ways that you can use projects. So this is my laptop, which I don't use often, so I don't know what's here, but here's a good example. Actually, before we do that. Okay. So my buddy had a bachelor party last weekend, and I was responsible for getting transportation in a town where Uber does not exist. So like literally there was, I called a bunch of hotels around there, and they were like, yeah, there's one Uber driver. But she just came and collected her cards last week. So this was difficult. So what I did, I haven't opened this for a while. But you can use projects for anything from shopping. So this was the map, you know, that I needed to pull up. These are the different bus companies that I found. So I could continue, I could just open this up whenever, you know, when I heard back from the main organizer, he was like, okay, here are the times we need it. I pulled it back up and I was like, okay, these are my best choices. So, and the best part is these tabs never interfered with my work. It was something that was separate from what I was doing at work or with anything else.
I want to close that project, can I just same thing, go into the menu and say, close this project, and they'll all close?
What you would do is you can either switch projects or you can start a new empty project. So, and you can name it here. But generally you're going to switch projects, or you can go back to your home project.
Gotcha. So home is exactly what it is. It's just kind of maybe all your regular browsings there. Exactly. And then the various work projects are going to be assigned in the projects tab. You can switch between those or come back home.
Exactly. So what you're seeing here is, while this is up, this looks kind of curious, so I just want to explain what's going on here. So when I click this tab, you're going to see a message that says the tab has been snoozed. So because you have so many projects or so many tabs you're opening at once, we wanted to give people an option, because we have a lot of people who are paying for data. If you're traveling on a hotspot or whatever, or some people, that's the only way that they connect to the internet in some countries. So what you want to do, and I'm just going to open a new tab here. Okay. So what you want to do is in here, this is called Quick Tabs. It's an extension that we've packaged with a browser. It comes with every install. You have the opportunity to load all tabs at once, which means that all the tabs are going to be fighting for bandwidth. You can load one at a time with priority given to the active tab. and then, or you can wait. And this is the one that's good for people who are paying for bandwidth. Once a tab is made active, then and only then. So if you have 15 tabs in a project, you're not going to eat up all your bandwidth loading those 15 tabs at the same time. You can wait until you actually make it active.
And yeah, like being active means just clicking on the tab itself, so it's showing in view.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So
well, that's cool. No, that's cool. That allows you then to kind of have a lot of control over, especially if you're opening up a multi-tab. You might have 10 or 15 tabs, Mike Howard, and you want to open them up all at once. Now, for a lot of us, we're on pretty ample bandwidth, and so that most people would just let them go. But right. Maybe in a lower bandwidth situation, or if you, it just gives you some control, right? Over, hey, I'm gonna choose when I open these tabs based on what I'm doing. So I love that.
Right. Yep. One more thing that I want to show you too about projects. So there are some projects, we use Gusto for payroll. I'm revealing a lot about our inner workings.
Yeah, here. Don't. But don't show what you don't want to know for sure.
I'm not logging in. Okay. So now with all of these tabs that I just opened, and even if I were to do it in a new session, the browser records the state of the project so that the next time I open it, it's going to follow that state. I'm on really slow internet here. So pardon the lack of loading here, but let me switch to, so here's an example where for the financial, and again, I'm not logged in, I hope. But I have all my banking accounts, and then I have two PayPal accounts as well. So this allows me to save my PayPal accounts in the different states so that when I need to do my banking, I open up this project and boom, it's all right there. So so that really helps a lot. And, you know, we use Upwork too for a lot of contractors. So that all helps. So when you lock the project, it's not going to track any new tabs that you open, so that you can, if you know that you always want the same tabs open for when you go to a certain project, you don't want it to record the history, then you just lock the project.
And then Mark Robson in the chat room had asked, bookmarks are handled independently with a question, and then does it also import Chrome bookmarks?
When you first... that's a good question. And again, we're about productivity. So when you download the browser, the very first thing that happens after you install it is you get an option to install all of your settings from whatever browser you want. So with most people using Chrome, what that means is that you can install not only your bookmarks and all your settings and your autofill, all of your saved passwords and all that, but you can also, with one click, install all of your extensions. Which helps you basically in less than a minute, you're going to be replicating your Chrome experience. Obviously, if you're a Firefox user, Firefox extensions aren't going to work. But
flip that over. There we go. Good. Good work.
Good. Back to people again.
Well, and let me go jump on that really quick because my user experience, you know, so last night you and I were chatting back and forth on email, and I was like, I should probably download this thing and try it before we talk about it tomorrow night, right? So I have a few things to talk about. So yesterday evening, I downloaded, imported my favorites. It looks just like my Chrome browser here. Then I, like you said, I turned on or I allowed it to install the extensions, and I used just a few of them. But for me, the LastPass extensions are a really important one for me and the stuff I do. And it brought those in. And they worked. I have a couple things, log in, boom, and I was done. And then LastPass was working. I mean, you said productivity, get things up to speed, go fast. Within 2 minutes, maybe not even that, I was up and running, working. Mike, I literally gave you the link right before the show.
And I already had everything imported within, like you just said, just a few minutes. So I was downloading it right as I got on, and it's that quick.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Larry, cool. That's true. It's super intuitive. I mean, it was very, very easy for us to get in there, get it done. I'll show my screen here really quick so folks can see I've just got the window up. We'll give that a second here to show up in the live stream. There you go. So that's a typical, there you go. There's some show notes. If you guys ever, I don't think I've ever showed you guys the show notes that I do out there, but there's the browser tab that's open. I haven't turned on any of the, I don't have any of the colors in there. I just open the tabs as we go. So I'm assuming at this point, since I do this, Larry, I do this every, these are the four tabs. You know, I've got the Google list. I've got the show notes for the intro. Here's all the list of all the shows that we've done. And then I just had an open tab. If I wanted to save this as a project, these four as a project, I just come here and say, save home project as, is that the right thing?
I think that's the wording. The menu hasn't popped up there yet.
And then, let's see. Yeah, it may not show up. So now it's saying new project and it's calling it project two. I'm going to call it home. It's too bad that Google Hangouts don't capture this, but home, I'm going to name it Home Gadget Geeks and I'm going to save it. Right. And so now, it just dropped me on that one. Cause I think it opened a new instance of it. Right. So, so there we go. And then we'll pop it back over and that should be the new project. Not that one, but let's see, that may stop sharing it too. So if I closed out Ghost Browser at this point and then opened it back up again, I could go back to that project and pull it back around, right?
Yeah. Do you have Hangouts open in Ghost right now?
I don't.
Okay. Because if you switch projects, and that would cut you off.
Yeah. Good thing I didn't do that. Yeah.
No, so can you have multiple projects open in if you have three different windows, could you have each one be a different project?
So what we think is the best way to do it, and we're open to feedback on this, but what we think is the best way to do it is to have one project that you can open anytime. We haven't really heard a compelling argument for having two projects open at once, because whatever that you can save, if let's say you have one project where you want all of your Gmail accounts and you need all your Gmail accounts and the information that you were just showing us there, Jim, on the show, and then you want one that just has your Gmail accounts, just make two projects. So it just makes it a lot easier. It makes it, if you open with the way, if you try to have two projects open at once and those projects are large, you're just going to be running a lot of resources. And, Chromium is not the fastest browser out there. So, it's pretty speedy, but we're trying to get you to consolidate things into one project. It's just a better user experience. And you can always pop a tab out into a second window. So one project can have four windows.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. So when I sit down to my desk, I run a three monitor setup and I have usually a window in each one with social media, email, banking. So in that one project, if this is all one project, will it remember where everything was with the windows? Or will it just open all the tabs in one window, then I can move them around after that?
Yeah, it's not going to put them on the same monitor that they were on when you closed it down. We're going to look into that because I would like that too. I'm a three monitor guy as well, and I would like to have it all set up like that. So we're going to look into doing that in the near future. But right now, it will open them into the separate windows.
Okay, it will. So okay, that's all. That's really not that bad then, because if it does that, you just move them over real quick as long as it separates them into those windows. Okay.
Right. And that's, that reminds me of another point. One of the main reasons, I'm a three monitor guy as well, but I also travel a lot. And I've bought a couple of those portable monitors, the USB monitors.
Yeah.
But they're just not that great. They're nice and portable. So it's nice to be able to plug in, but the resolution isn't great. Or maybe I just don't know how to set it correctly. One of the benefits of Ghost is that it makes it a lot easier to travel because you can have these multiple sessions open in one window. And if you're limited to one monitor, not having to toggle between windows or browsers or what the different browsers or whatever to get your multiple logins has been a huge time saver for us because we're on the road a lot. So
Yeah, that'd be huge.
Okay. And then talk again. Okay. So now that we've thought about projects for a second, bring sessions back in and talk one more time about, so then I've got the ability to create sessions within that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's, so think of anything that you, any website that you might need to log into more than once. We've been using Gmail. Social media managers use it to manage multiple Twitter accounts. I use it when I'm working on websites that have multiple user accounts. So for example, you have an admin login where you're actually making changes to content. And then you want to see what does that look like to a non-logged-in visitor? What does it look like to a customer who's made a purchase? What does it look like to a customer who hasn't made a purchase? And what does it look like to a customer who's canceled a subscription? Rather than logging in and out of those four accounts, you make the change and then you just refresh your tabs. And you can actually, there's an option to refresh all tabs in a session. So for development in QA, it's really good. You make a change and then you can test by doing by refreshing all the tabs. Yes, up there, yep. up the top under in the session manager, there's the refresh this session option.
Okay. Very cool. So from a user standpoint, how are you guys, one, how's the adoption of this? What are you hearing back from it? What kind of feedback are you getting from your community as you think about, I mean, how does one roll out a brand new browser?
Well, good question. I, like any venture, I don't think there's an easy answer to that. How we did it is, when we felt like we were ready for beta testers, we spent like $120 on a beta list ad. And then from there, and we didn't get a whole lot of traffic from there, but from there, somebody picked it up and posted it on Product Hunt, and then it just kind of went bonkers from there. So, that was sort of our first big group of users. And it was interesting because we got, so the name of the product is Ghost Browser. The verb ghost means to move quick, to glide smoothly and effortlessly through something. And I thought that was a perfect name. So that's what we named it. But a lot of people think that it means ghost as in you can't see me. I'm browsing privately. And when you use isolated sessions, you actually do get isolation from if you're logged in Facebook in one session, but you're browsing in another session, they can't see those cookies. So you do get sort of some levels of privacy, but it's not. You know, we were getting a lot of users from around the country, from around the world, in countries where they were trying to hide from their government and stuff like that. And that's not really the product that we set out to create. So.
You had said a little more around productivity as opposed to, being hidden from that standpoint.
Right. So, productivity browser, not a privacy browser, but, so it's been interesting. We got tens of thousands of users who we couldn't tell if they wanted productivity or privacy. We've also gotten a lot of blog posts from around the world that indicate to us that people are starting to think of it as a productivity browser. So
that's great. How long does that, when you think about the adoption rate, I mean, one, when did you open it up out of private beta into the public as it is today? And then do those adoption, can you track those numbers? Do they go in spurts? Is it a kind of even growth? Kind of how does that work on the back end?
That's a good question. It's hard because, you know, one of the things that we are focused on is, I just said that we're not a privacy browser, but we do want to respect people's privacy. So we don't do a whole lot of tracking in the browser. We know, you know, in the beginning, we didn't track usage at all. Now we track a very simple thing. If when you install the browser, a serial key is generated. And if that serial key, we track how many days the user used it, because we want to know how many active users we have. So, at various points, we've tracked downloads, we haven't tracked downloads. So it is kind of hard to do that. We're trying to strike a good balance between making sure that we're not tracking everybody like most of the browsers out there do, but also getting enough business intelligence to tell us, yes, you should keep investing money in this, or, you know, this is what you need to do, or this is where you need to target. So there's not a whole, we don't have a whole lot of data on that. But we, you know, through our website, obviously we use Google Analytics. And so we do have some sense, but it's really hard to tell what the usage is, because we haven't had that implemented for most of the time. So
kind of a double-edged sword, right? You're giving your users privacy. I mean, this is, and now we know how Microsoft and Google feel when they're trying to get telemetry on us so they can make their product better. Not everybody would believe that, but you know, they're trying to make their product better. And then it's like, hey, you're watching me. Well, I kind of need to know what you're doing so that I, you know, we can make improvements. So it's a completely, you know, it's a completely double-edged sword from that standpoint. A quick technical question. Another Jim in the chat room said, so where are the settings in the local app data or roaming app data?
I believe is the answer local to that. Yeah. So also just so you guys know, I'm not a developer, but the settings are, so I think there
is, you were just hoping to get a whole bunch of really hard developer questions, weren't you?
Yeah. I was hoping that you guys would grill me on that stuff. And if you do, I can get the answer for you, but I'm not going to give it to you right now.
So can I ask
local?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, I believe it's local. So if you want to find, the folder, you go to, I'm trying to think of what the path is now. It's the one that it's basically like user and then your username and then local and then app data and follow that path and you'll find it there.
Okay. So you'd mentioned in pre-show we were talking to you, you just admitted you're not developing, and Kat, your partner in this and co-founder, she's not developing. So how does one go about getting development done when you're not developing, so to speak? Can I ask, how have you outsourced this?
So we hire it. We hire out. I mean, I've been in software for like 10 or 12 years, and a lot of it has been outsourcing. The people that are working on the Ghost Browser project are people that I have worked with for many years now. I think the longest relationship is 5 or 6 years, maybe no 6 years. And you know, we have a couple of others. So it's with people who I knew had the gumption to take on a project this large, and super talented, super skilled developers, distributed mostly in Eastern Europe, but super skilled, well-educated, very dedicated, very creative, and really sticklers about making sure that things work the way they should. So, so that's basically how we've done it. There are some challenges with being a non-technical founder, but I've worked with these guys for so long that they usually know. I mean, I recently had to send out a memo basically saying, guys, I'm getting in your way. Like, just do your thing and I'll focus on doing my thing, you know? So, so it helps. It's a great team. A lot of really smart guys.
No, that's cool. And then Peter, who in the chat room, who is our, our Linux guy, asks, any thought of porting this browser onto Linux?
Yes, a lot of thoughts, and that's our primary feature request. We're not there yet. Here's the thing: if we managing the Linux distributions is going to be difficult. Plus, there are several flavors of Linux, so we're not quite there yet. We just launched in beta in October, and most of our developers actually prefer Linux as well. But just from a business standpoint, we can't. We're just not quite there yet. So, because it's a lot of management, and we still have some core features that we want to build out for the browser. So once we do that on the easy platforms, then we will be looking at Linux. But
and easy being both Mac and Windows at this point, though you're supporting both platforms.
Yeah.
No, very cool. How does one go about monetizing something like this? I mean, that's the whole goal, right? Is to get these. I downloaded it for free. You didn't ask me for any money. I'm assuming you're not collecting my PayPal account in the process, and so you're not really making any money off me at this
point.
No, you're not making any money.
We're not siphoning your PayPal logins out of the browser.
Which is it's happened before. But that being said, what are your thoughts as you guys roll forward? How are you hoping? Well, it was a little. You know, we had this vulnerability with what's the name of it now? I haven't used it in a while.
For good reason.
Yeah, why couldn't it got shut off? TeamViewer. So there was a TeamViewer a couple 6 months ago, right, or more, maybe 9 months ago. There was a TeamViewer vulnerability, and people were just coming right in. And so, when you're a LastPass user, and people get to your desktop, you're kind of screwed, right? Now, I didn't, fortunately, I didn't lose any money. You know, I didn't lose any money in the process. In fact, the thief was pretty stupid, and I was able to get that money back. But that being said, how are you, as you guys think about how you're going to monetize this? What, any thoughts on that so far?
Yeah, so we actually already have a freemium model in place. So when we thought about how to monetize the browser, obviously the current model is you track users' browsing habits and you show them ads and whatnot. But I don't think that that really fits into our productivity model. You know, we, like, for example, there are some browsers out there, and I don't want to name any names, but where that are alternative browsers, that when you open them up, there are all kinds of links, affiliate links and advertising links set into the browser, and they monetize it that way. But it's at the sacrifice of making a smooth interface. When you open up Ghost Browser, you get whatever you want. You get the project that you set to be the project that opens up, or your home project opens up. And we feel that's more productive. So rather than monetizing off of putting ads in the browser, we're asking for a premium fee for power users. So once you hit, you can use the browser for free. You can use three sessions or three projects in the free version. But once you get past that, then you'll click a button. And if you try to open up a fourth session with a free license, then it will offer you to upgrade to premium.
Three is still a good amount though for free. That's a nice, I think that's a perfect point where a normal user, you know, three, and then they think, okay, yeah, if I really want to go deep dive into this more, obviously support the developers who made it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of people can use it, can use the free version and be okay with that. And a lot of people definitely do workarounds as well, the way they save projects or whatever. But I think, you know, if you do go premium, having the ability to do all those projects is just going to make you more productive. So it's well worth it. I mean, we're currently doing sort of an opening rate of $15 a month or $100 a year. But we're also aiming to save you 15 minutes about three or four times a day. So if you think about the payoff, then it's kind of a no-brainer.
I was just going to mention that this seems like a product that once you really get into using it every single day, you just can't go back and use a normal browser after this. You get so used to the functionality that they probably just expand more and more. Do you guys have any way of tracking to see how quickly people are going from the free to the upgrade? Does it take them a while to get used to the browser and kind of get, okay, now I do need more than three? Or are they kind of figuring it out right away? Hey, I'm going to need to upgrade right now.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I would like to know.
Okay.
But in order to do that, we would have to, because we would have to figure out a way to track when you download the free version. And
okay,
it can probably be done, but you know, we're not there yet. We might do something like that if the business requires it. But you know, we're trying to track as little as possible while still tracking enough that we can move the business forward. So,
right.
But that's a good question. It's something I wonder about all the time.
Yeah.
We do have after you download the browser now, there is a page that pops up. It's an optional like email sign up. So, you know, if you sign up for premium at some point, we could go back and see when you found the site. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that's when you started using it, but so we have sort of not really too exact ways to do that, but nothing too formalized or codified yet.
Yeah, okay. That's always a struggle, you know, from that standpoint. Just so for folks who are listening to the audio version, so free version is available when you download it, $0. It's free, free of ads, free of tracking. You guys make a big deal about making sure there's no adware or ransomware or anything embedded in the software from that. You'd mentioned the limit of three sessions, limit of three projects, limit of one project open in time. And you have a free premium trial as well. So no credit card required, unlimited projects, up to 15 sessions, open multiple projects, incognito mode, user profiles, fully featured, 2-week free trial. So if folks wanted to do that, they could go into the browser and get that started for 2 weeks. Just get it going. I imagine at the end of 2 weeks, it's going to give you a little warning or it's going to do a little pop-up. Do you want to continue, and then a way for them to pay if they do?
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the 2 weeks, you'll get an email. You do have to give your email for the trial. So, but there's no credit card, like you said. So, yeah, at the end of the 2 weeks, you'll get an email. And then if you don't see the email or forget to act on it, then your trial license will kick you back to a free version after 2 weeks. And then you'll get the same prompts that you would get as if you were a brand new user.
Yeah, no, I like it. And then you mentioned monthly is 15, and that gives you all the same things as the free trial. And if you want to do it annual, that's probably the easiest way to do it, $100 to get annual. And that I imagine I'll get reminded via email at some point that that annual is coming due, and I need to pay that again. And so have you felt, from a community standpoint, have you felt good traction on getting to know your customers a little bit better from, I mean, are you getting feedback directly from them and maybe even some of your power users? Do you feel like you're getting direct feedback from
them? Yeah, we are. And that's the great thing about having a product that focuses on power users is that people have a lot of opinions. So that's great. And, you know, it was interesting. The first probably 3 to 4 months, nearly every single feature request that we got is something that was already on the roadmap. So that made us feel pretty good about knowing that we were going in the right direction. Now we're starting to, since we've launched the premium version, we're starting to get a lot of feedback that's been very helpful because we're asking you to pay for a web browser. Google creates a web browser that's free. Microsoft creates a web browser that's free. So people are still sort of adjusting to the idea of paying for a web browser. But in, you know, we've started to ask for not only feedback, but testimonials from our premium users. And that's something that we're hearing a lot of is, I thought it was kind of weird. I wasn't sure I should even be paying for a browser, but now that I have, I'm finding that it's totally worth it. So, so yeah, but we've, you know, in terms of features, we've gotten quite a few feature requests. Maybe we, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the future. So, one of the things that I really need is sync, because when I move between my desktop and my laptop, I want my projects to be the same. So we're going to be tackling that pretty soon. It's a little bit more complicated than doing that in Chrome, because you know the Google API has limitations in, as to how many requests you can make per day. So we can't provide that for our users, but we think there might be a way to. You know, to let you get an API key and make that work. But we're going to start investigating that pretty soon. We also, right now, the team is working on updating the Chromium core. We've got to do that pretty regularly to make sure that we're up on security patches and all that. That project is wrapping up shortly. And as soon as that's done, we're releasing a new feature that allows you to assign a different proxy for every tab. So this, I'm not sure how relevant this is for your audience, but to truly separate your identities, a lot of websites will track your usage of their site, not only through through cookie jars, but through proxy, through your IP address. So a lot of people who are in foreign countries who say you are in Germany working for a US company and you need to manage their Twitter accounts, that are maybe based in different countries, Twitter will give you a really hard time logging in from a foreign country. So if you can assign a different proxy to each tab, then that's going to make that a lot easier. So we're going to keep moving in that direction of complete isolation of the session. So that's not only proxies, but also local DB and the cache as well. The cache right now is global. It doesn't really create many problems, but I'm sure that it will eventually. So we want to get complete isolation there. And then after that, we're going to start working on the API, because we know that there are a lot of awesome productivity extensions out there that that could add a lot of great functionality to Ghost. But right now, they can't talk to sessions or projects. So one thing that I would love to do, for example, is, you know, we use Trello for project management. So if we have some data in Trello, I'd like to be able to spit that out and have that open up a project with all of the tabs that I need opened up right away and get me logged into the right account. So that way, you know, if somebody reports a bug, we can open that up immediately. that's a little bit down the road, but that's the kind of thing that we're going for here. So we'll open up the API to extension developers and to designers too, because, you know, we'll probably keep Ghost looking as close to Chrome as possible just to keep it familiar. But a lot of people like to have the browser look a certain way. I'm not one of them, but I know that there are a lot of them out there. So we want to make, you know, we want to give them an opportunity to have the projects and sessions menu look the way they want.
Yeah, no, there's always for as many people as want to keep it standard, there's the other half who want to just customize the crap out of it. And you know, you're like, why? I'm a standard guy. I think, Larry, I'm a lot like you. I have enough work to do. I don't want to recustomize everything every time something goes wrong, or it drives everybody nuts. I don't, my daughter looks at my phone and she is like, you literally have done nothing to your phone since you got it. And I'm like,
that's right.
Exactly. Why would I, you know, and hers has got all kinds of customizations on it and stuff, but, we should have, as you know, Kat showed up in the chat room behind the scenes. You guys are getting ready to move. Yeah. She's hanging out in chat. She seems like maybe she's the brains of the operation, especially from the blog standpoint. I'm looking at your blog. So if you go to ghostbrowser.com/blog, looks like she kind of takes care of a lot of the postings of the blog and getting announcements out there. That's not true, Larry. You post those out there. I'm just trying to give you a hard time.
I do post some, yeah, but you're right. She is the brains of the operation. She's the one who really gets shit done when I'm getting distracted. So Kat handles sort of the human side. She does business development and is the primary person, customer support, and does everything that involves people. And I take care of the people and the development team, and that's sort of how we split that.
Yeah, it's good. You need those people. People, right? The ones who know how to get press releases and write blogs and talk to people and have those conversations and all those kind of things that got to get done around the business. She's saying in the chat room it's 50-50. So she's just the extrovert is what she's saying. So it's great. How does that work? Oftentimes married couples, you know, struggle in the business. Is that working pretty well for you guys to be partners? And you're moving. That's a super stressful thing. So how's that going?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot going on right now, and it is great. It is. You know, we're together all day, right? We work together, and then we go home together. So there definitely are some moments where it's stressful, but it actually is great if you think about it. I mean, I was telling Jim before the show, we just bought a house and the movers were coming tomorrow morning at 8:00. So this has been one heck of a week. I'm pretty sure I've caught a bug of some sort as well. But when you can just hand it off and whether it's business, it's sort of, I mean, one of the reasons why we are so focused on productivity is because we care a lot about lifestyle design and we want to be able to have a good life and have a successful business. So, when those things are intermixed, it can get pretty crazy sometimes, but then you also have a great partner who can jump in and take care of anything, you know? So it's nice to have that flexibility. If one person can't be there, then the other is. So, but if you ever decide to venture down that road, just make sure that you both have a great sense of humor. Kat's a pretty funny woman, so it keeps the day moving pretty quickly.
Well, we appreciate having her in the chat room. She doubled our female population live tonight, which is always good. So awesome. It Emily comes out. Emily's been faithful now for the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. Emily's been coming out. But and we've had Emily on the show as well. Kat, I am definitely going to get you back on the show at some point. We're going to have to find some reason to do this. Maybe after you guys get moved in, we can have both of you back on and talk about some future updates. Speaking of future updates, so you said you're moving. I kind of pinned you down in the pre-show and said, what kind of gadgets are you using? And you mentioned Google, kind of the Google Home device. There are certainly a bunch of options out there. When we think about, well, I shouldn't say that. There's really only one other, which is that device known as Amazon. We won't mention the name so it doesn't alert a whole bunch of people's devices from that standpoint. But trust me, I listen to podcasts and they'll mention those names and
it turns it on.
You see, same thing happens to
that's funny.
Microsoft's Cortana. same thing happens over. I've got that one set up as well. I've been thinking about Google Home as well, just because I've been working on the Amazon device. I've been working on Cortana. I have an Android phone, but certainly I've been interested in, we had John Larson on our show he's a local guy here who really loves his Google Home. Why the Google Home? What are you hoping to kind of get out of? What kind of productivity improvements? Cause that's why you're doing it, right? For productivity. What kind of productivity improvements are you hoping?
So, I mean, convenience is a big one, but it actually does oddly make me more productive, because when we're packing boxes and we need a little pick me up, we want to put on some Talking Heads or listen to some Fish or something. We don't have to go to the computer and get distracted by the emails that are inevitably going to be there and all that. And when you're running a startup, there's always emails coming in, right? So I can play my music without having to really deal with that. You know, I've linked up Spotify, so I've got pretty much whatever I want. And if I want something else, then, you know, we also have Chromecast. So Kat, when I met her, was kind of an Apple girl. And I think she still, you know, she still uses Apple computers, but I think and there's something nice about having all of the Apple products, right? It's convenient. Everything is in sync, but I think, you know, she's kind of getting more into the Google thing. I've always been a Google guy. We have Pixel phones. So having all that in sync is really nice. But also, you know, I'm excited to see what else we can do with Google Home. Right now, we basically use it for listening to music. But there's also, it sounds like if you ask Google to get you an Uber, I forget exactly what the response is, but it sounds like something they might be working on. So that kind of thing is cool too. When you're getting ready, instead of going to the computer and getting distracted.
Or your phone
for your appointment,
you know, open your phone and same distractions, right? Go to the phone. Oh, I got to check these emails deal.
Right.
Mike, where have you landed on the, you know, on the digital assistant? What do you use most now?
It depends on if I'm at home or mobile, right? Cause it's Siri whenever I'm out, and it's the Echo at home. And we've invested heavy in the Echo.
Don't use that name.
Sorry. But that's not the trigger word. So the Echo, we have one big one.
It is here.
It is there. You switched it.
It's right there.
Right.
Okay, it's right there. Okay. Go ahead.
Alexa, play. yeah, sorry.
Anyways.
So we have two of the Amazon products.
There you go.
Sorry. We have four Amazon products. We have one main one and then three of the minis around the house. So we've gone full into Amazon. I do have to admit, though, once I started seeing the Google offering, I'm starting to wonder if I made the right choice. I kind of invested in those right at the same time as Google came out. And so I was wondering which direction they'll go. So I think it's yet to be seen where we go. We do kind of, my Hannah is always talking about, you know, she's still a little limited. You can't just ask her certain questions that she'll just get the answer to. So we might consider looking at the Google ones and seeing. But for right now, she does what she's supposed to do, turns on and off lights. And that's mainly what she does. She plays music, turns on and off the lights, and is a timer for when I'm cooking. And with those three tasks, she's used multiple times a day, and she does them very well. So,
yeah, Emily says in the chat room, she says, mine is starting to disobey me. She loves my husband and always listens to him, but I get the sorry, I don't understand.
Well, and that is the same complaint. So my mom comes over and watches Emmett, and I'll come home from work, and there's always a report on how her and the Amazon product got along that day. You know, whether, she's a little moody today. You know, she was not really getting it. She didn't know how to turn off the sofa light, and I asked her to play a CD that I wanted, and she didn't do it. So there is, and then I'll say it, of course, and it'll be perfect and she'll do it exactly right. But yeah, it's always fun. Yeah.
No, that's always that's always the way it goes. I have trouble with music for whatever reason on the Amazon device. It always wants to play the live version. Apparently the music that I like best is always only on the Amazon. On the Amazon Music library in its live form. And I don't always want to hear the live music. And so you have to tell it to stop. One of the other things we've been working on, Larry, hardcore with these devices is getting our podcasts to play on them. So I really just want to say, hey, device, play Home Gadget Geeks from TuneIn or play Home Gadget Geeks, you know, from wherever. And it, for whatever reason, I can't get anything. I must have picked the wrong name of a show, because Home Gadget Geeks does not resonate with any of them. Cortana actually surprisingly handles it the best now at this point. So if I say, you know, hey, Cortana, play Home Gadget Geeks on TuneIn Radio, she'll pop right up and open up TuneIn in the app, which for Windows is amazing. Opens up the app and starts playing the podcast. And to me, that's really cool, right? As a podcaster, it's really cool. I want my audience to be able to interact, like, you know, like you said, I don't even want them to have to go to the phone to get it. I just want them to say, you know, play the Home Gadget Geeks podcast.
Yeah. And to be honest, that would, you know, we were talking before the show about live listeners versus recorded listeners. And that would actually make me a more avid podcast listener, because, you know, often first you got to find the chunk of time to sit down and dedicate yourself to it. But if I could fire that up instead of firing up, you know, another album that I've listened to a million times, then yeah, I would be able to do that if I could do it without going, because I know as soon as I start searching for podcasts, that's an hour that's going to be gone for me.
Yeah.
So
no, you really want it. And that's what I'm trying to do, is get it so that I want the podcast to be accessible to my listeners. Yeah. Is just as easy as possible. And, you know, I may have to write an Amazon skill to do that, where you say open, you know, you would tell it to open Home Gadget Geeks, the skill. And then in the skill, it would say, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to listen to Home Gadget Geeks, Cyber Frontiers? And then you would say, Home Gadget Geeks. I think my chances of success with that are better if I write the skill. Now, those skills, I'm not a developer either, and those skills are pretty hard to write. Well, no, that's not true. They're actually pretty easy. I just don't have the skill to do them. I probably need to pay somebody in Nicaragua, you know, $50 on Fiverr or whatever to write the code for me. But I think that kind of stuff is coming and is interesting. And like you said, when we think about a sheer productivity standpoint, we want it to turn on the lights. We want it to lock the doors. We want it to give us the weather and the news. I mean, I first thing in the morning, I run a flash briefing, and it, you know, it brings up the NPR news that I want to listen to, and it goes right to it and does what it's supposed to. I love those devices just for that reason. But Mike, to your point, the Amazon device sucks at queries,
right?
The Google device is better at that, but it's harder at the home automation piece than the other. And then, Cortana surprisingly does productivity stuff like opening apps in Windows and getting the office apps open, if that's what you want to do. And man, it's really good at traffic and those kinds of things. And so I think eventually all those competition will kind of start ironing some of those things out, and they'll just continue to get better. Larry, do you still think, though, it's still pretty gimmicky, right? I mean, you're doing this, but it's still kind of gadgety and gimmicky.
I mean, it's not fully featured like it's going to be 5 years from now. 5 years from now, you know, it's going to be a lot different. We're going to have certain expectations. 5 years from now, we're going to forget that it ever, quote unquote, sucked, you know? So yeah, maybe it is a little gimmicky. And you know, with the Google Home, currently I only use it for one thing. We're going to do a deep dive into it once we get moved.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's still pretty early. I mean, how old is the device?
No, you can say Amazon. Just don't tell this. Just say it.
I think that was the first one, right? And that's what, two, is that more than 2 years old now?
I think just coming up on two, maybe.
Or yeah, two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe so. They are new.
Yeah, it's still early, and you know, they have to get some out there to get people to use them so that they can figure out where to go next. But I think it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think we are on the cusp. I have built a separate box sitting on the desk here. Its sole purpose is to be a Cortana hands-free device. Microsoft is promising a lot of that. As a Windows MVP, you know, I feel it's my obligation to test them and push them in that area. And so far, the Amazon device completely handsless, right? I mean, you're forced to talk to it. The Google Home is similar from that standpoint, but Cortana is still you still go to the keyboard because it's there on the computer. I want to get to the point where I can just take the computer away. I mean, take the the keyboard away, keyboard and mouse, and see if I can make that thing work. The big difference on it is it has way better security than the other two put together. So it has some really good security behind it. And so you're not going to necessarily have somebody doing a whole bunch of things. And Cortana doesn't recognize voice. And I think that's the next big thing too, right? That we got to get these things so they don't hate you and love Kat. We have to get these things recognizing, you know, who's who, don't we?
I'd love to see it. And Kat's probably going to yell at me when I get home for saying this in front of other people. But really, my dream is you can think something and then it happens. Oh, yeah. So you don't even have to say it. You don't have to deal with the voice commands. Yeah. I just want to think, open my browser and go to this website and then it happens. There's got to be a way. I know it's going to happen.
Larry, that's an ugly world.
Hopefully I'm still around.
Let me just tell you, that's an ugly world.
And I don't know how you filter it all out.
I have high activation and high activity. And, you know, even during a show like this, I've got about three or four different things going on as we're kind of monitoring all the pieces. I would hate to think I need the filter in between my brain here's what I think. Here's where I think though this makes sense. Maybe not direct to the brain, but certainly being able to predict a little bit better of the things that we need when we need them. Google does this by far the best of any of the devices that are out there, of trying to anticipate through Google Now and some of the other things they're doing, trying to anticipate some of the things you might need. Oh, hey, I see you. It's 8 o'clock in the morning and for the last 4 weeks, you've left during the weekday at 8 o'clock in the morning. I should probably proactively pop up your commute. And this is really what I really want. It is where I live here in Bellevue and my way to get up to Omaha. It's pretty regular that the interstate's all jammed up, but it's not every day. And it's not the same day every week. For whatever reason, there's an accident on Tuesday. Well, I have a chance to turn right and take another route before I get to the interstate. I want that darn thing to tell me. I want it to like shock me and say, you know, turn early, Jim. Like I'm trying to tell you this. That would be, what I don't want to do, we've talked about this before, and my listeners have said, yeah, well, just turn on Waze and have it. No, I know how to get to work. Like, I don't want to invoke Waze every time I go to work, right? I just want it to know and flash the screen or buzz my watch or do something and say, hey, turn left on Fort Crook and don't go down to the interstate, right? I think, don't you think that's a little more helpful?
Yeah. And especially if you don't have to activate it, if it's just sort of there. And you don't, the other thing is you don't really want the voice narration going all the time. So if you have Waze on, or if you have Google Maps on, you have to have the voice on all the time just to get that warning. So I'm with you, man. I think that, you know, without any user engagement at all, if it just knows for you, I'm sure we're going to see that in the self-driving cars. But I mean, think about, you know, we talk about, oh, remember when you used to have to write down directions when you were going somewhere new just to navigate yourself there. And now it's, you know, if you think back 4 years ago, remember when you used to have to type addresses into Google Maps? And you don't even have to do that anymore because, you know, Google knows that I put something in my calendar and there's the link and there's the address and it's just clicking a link. So, yeah, so I think it's all, Jim, I don't think we're that far from that kind of thing where you do have that like activationless instruction that you get from these smart devices.
Well, it's notification overload today. You know, you talked about, you know, lack of productivity just by checking your email, and we live in a world of notification overload. So I think we also have to have a revolution in the way we go about doing notifications. And by the way, I know I can go to my settings and I know I can change those, but I don't want to. I use the device every day. It should kind of start learning. Like what
I actually forgot to mention this when I was talking about our future roadmap, but a lot of the research on distraction and productivity focuses on web browser notifications. So, and I hope we're not going too far over here, but
no, we're fine. We're fine.
But you know, there's a lot of scholarly research that uses computer notifications as a basis to study distraction and productivity. So one, that's another thing that we want to do is right now we've sort of temporarily called it the notification roll-up with it. It's a way to give you more control over the pop-ups that you get in your browser. And one of, you know, the, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like every website I go to, there are a couple of companies that have created this product where you can install some JavaScript on your website. And then when people visit it, they get a pop-up that says, do you wish to get notifications from this? And I love getting them from Product Hunt. And so, then every other time I click yes, I feel kind of dirty because I know I'm going to regret it. You know? But I do want those notifications, but I don't want them popping up when I'm in the, when I've got six things in my head and I'm trying to focus on getting something done under a deadline for somebody. So, you know, giving more people control over those notifications, and the scholarly research on it is so broad and it's so broadly covered that I'm surprised that a lot of the major companies haven't spent more time focusing on this, but they haven't. So that's one of the things we want to do with Ghost too. You know, just to get those. We can't do much for your phone, but that's definitely on the radar because it does take away from what you're doing.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time in our browsers, and I think if we can attack those browsers and make those times more productive, I'm looking forward to kind of making a little run at this here in the house and to see, you know, okay, can I, you know, what can I, how can I change my productivity in what I'm doing, because I have a whole podcasting flow when we're done here. There's all these things that I do. I open the most tabs when I'm getting ready to publish the podcast. And that's a perfect time to, you know, pop in there and say, okay, it's the same thing every time. And what I do is I just click on the button, you know, add tab, type it in, go to the site, right? Those kinds of things. And this would be a perfect opportunity for me to say, hey, this is post-production. This is the post-production project. Open that up. They show up and I'm ready to go. And I know there's other ways to do that in Chrome. I know there are ways, you know, people, there's, you can group bookmarks and some of those other kinds of things in Chrome, but a good opportunity to give this a try. Larry, anything else before we let you go? Anything that we missed from a product standpoint that we should know about?
Just a big thanks to both of you. We really appreciate it. It is definitely hard no matter what the product is. And obviously we think it's great, but it's hard to break in, especially when you're not in the Valley, or Boston, or, you know, in the big startup hubs. Denver's coming along very nicely, but we definitely appreciate, exposure, and it's been great talking to you, and we really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. So well, you're welcome. Great to have you on. We know, I told you before, we like to kind of specialize in the fringe, so to speak. You know, there's plenty of other people interviewing all those Silicon Valley folks, and you know, it's great. I can listen to them there, but I'm way more interested in local. And I consider Omaha, you know, when we think about Omaha, Des Moines, Denver, Kansas City, right? I kind of consider that, we call that Silicon Prairie out here. And so certainly we wrap in Denver in with that as well. And I've got a lot of friends out there. Thanks for doing this. If we ask you to come back maybe in the fall, when maybe a product announcement or something along those lines where we can be helpful, maybe we can get a Kat to come on here as well. Would you guys come back?
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to both be on, or, you know, you can have Kat for a show. That'd be awesome too.
No, we want to put you both on. We want to see a fight.
Not gonna happen. That's not gonna happen.
I don't believe that you work together. No, it's good. She looks very nice. So, Kat, we'll look forward to meeting you the next go around. Larry, we're going to let you go because we've already gone 15 minutes over the time that we told you. Thanks for coming in. You can just drop off, and we'll publish this later this weekend, and feel free to share it or whatever. But certainly, thanks for being our guest, and we appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jim, and thanks, Mike. Nice to meet you.
You bet.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Good luck moving, and don't make sure you take care of your back.
I will.
See you, Larry. Thanks.
All right, see you.
All right.
I'm excited to dive into Ghost browser. I think I'm going to start using it this week and see.
Really like this. You're that kind of guy.
Yep. And I'm totally the type that I do have three different Twitter accounts, Facebook is a little bit different because the pages are linked to your main one. So that's not a big deal. But between Twitter and Gmail and all those, I think it'll be fantastic. And I'm excited about the projects too, because I am the type of person, I sit down to do a certain type of activity, whether it's, okay, time to do all the upshot stuff and worry about video editing and all that, so I can just pop open those, or I'm not and I'm doing other related stuff. So I'm excited. I don't know. I'll let you know how it goes. I'll give it a week test run, and maybe I can report back next week and see how the first week with it went.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's what's great about the experience, I think, is it's so much like Chrome that there is really right. No, I mean, you jump in there and it's a little different, but man, not very much. And
so, you know, that adds a layer to not only a familiarity, but also just a, if you're going to switch browsers, people, you know, I've always just stuck with the main browser, Safari that comes on the Mac usually, and Chrome. It gives a little bit of trust, though. You're like, okay, it's still built on the same sort of platform that Chrome is built on. You know, you're not that he didn't seem trustworthy, but you're not trusting someone entirely with the back end of a browser. You know what it's kind of built on. And then you meet him and you're like, oh, okay, I would trust him. Sure. Yeah. Here's my PayPal account. Just take it.
No, it's all good. I just love the story. When I saw this, I thought this is really cool. You know, it's a great opportunity to do something different in a space that has gotten kind of stale. I mean,
it's very really, true.
Really, have we seen that much innovation?
Very stale, yet one of the things that people use every day, right? Yeah. Like it's interesting that it's gone stale, because it's not that people don't use them anymore. We actually probably use them now more than ever. But just as far as innovation goes and ideas like this, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that it hasn't been already. Yeah,
there's not more of it.
Right. Exactly.
From that standpoint.
Which is great for them. You know,
yeah.
I hope it doesn't get Sherlocked from them. I hope the browser is still like, oh, that's a great idea. Here, we'll throw it in. So I hope that doesn't happen to them, because
it's always a risk.
Yeah,
it's
it
always,
is.
It's always a risk that you run. Glad to hear him say about sync too, because it's really important. I mean, I have been
very true.
You know, I've been syncing my Chrome browsers from home to work to the multiple PCs that I use. I am, Mike, I am making a run at Edge, just because, again, I'm a Microsoft MVP, so I need to be honest with it. It's still not the greatest browser. It's getting there, but Edge is got some interesting things being built into it, and there, you know, Microsoft gets a chance to build the browser from the ground up.
And, right. Yeah, they're upgrading our work machines to Windows 10, so now I'll get to play around with Edge a little bit more, because that's my main environment when I'm running Windows.
They might leave Windows Explorer, Internet Explorer in there for you. We did at work. They didn't turn. They left. They turned Explorer on, and I don't know if we can get to Edge right now. I'd have to take a peek.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It's one of those things, right? You throw a brand new browser, people don't care. They see the E, they click it, boom, they're in.
Right.
Type deal, you know, and then all of a sudden you get help desk calls, right? Edge would be something if we're going to roll that out in the organization, and most of our organization uses Chrome. So if we're going to roll out Edge, you know, it'll be there someday when it works, right? In most cases. I mean, it's still a little wonky. I try to use it as much as I can, but it's still a wonky.
Yeah.
Well, anything. Hey, great to have you back, man.
I'm glad to be back. It feels so good just to sit down with you, you know,
and bring you back in. You'd sent me a cat asked me the question in the chat room. What's wonky? That's if you listen to me long enough, there's certain phrases that I use all the time, and wonky is one of them. That's kind of when things go sideways. So when it's not working, it's wobbly, it's out of balance, you know, it's just not doing its thing. It's a little wonky. So my mom used to say golly wampus. I don't know. Have you ever heard of that phrase?
Yep. Mike? Oh yeah. I use it all the time. Actually, it's one of my terms.
Yeah. She said, oh, not the term. What's wonky about Edge? Well, yeah, that's a whole nother show. Maybe we'll have to save that for Kat. You have to remember, I've been testing Edge since the very beginning. And so back in its early beta forms. And so it's not bad now. It's got some things. It's accepting browser extensions, and there's a lot of other stuff going on with it. Some cool things going on with PDF readers on the inside. It's got some things cool going on with the video, and you can shut off those videos that start automatically on you and some of those things. So Microsoft is responding to a lot of the problems that have become the internet. And so I like I like Edge in the sense that it is it's brand new, right? It doesn't have sins of the past. So, but a cat in the most recent builds. I'll just say this real quick. In the most recent insider builds, so I'm on the fast ring on the insider builds, it's super slow. So they're having some problems with some of the updates, and so they're working some things out, and I think it'll be fine by the time they do the release. The other thing that's wonky about it is it's not separate from the OS. So they can't update that separately right now. It has to be, you have to get a whole, yeah. Yeah. You have to get an OS upgrade.
That sounds like something Apple would do.
Well, that sounds like something Microsoft would do 15 years ago.
Right.
You know, you're like, guys, didn't we learn to separate these things out when the EU sued you for $1 billion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we talked to be fair, when we talked with the Edge team last conference, they said their plan is to separate it. So it'll be available as an upgrade in the store. But today,
it's not the case.
No, you get an update. You get an update and it updates it. And so we've got some things coming up. Well, Mike, can you hang around for a few minutes for some post show?
Yeah. Yep. And I was, I'm going to be, the nice part about being back now is that I'll be back for the next few weeks, which is exciting. And I've been into a lot of, two different main little hobbies, so we'll have to get into that in the coming weeks if we have some time.
We got you scheduled. I have Mike Howard, Mark Robson coming on the 30th of March to talk just drones. So you'll get to jump in. Maybe I'll just have you run that show.
Perfect.
And you guys can
drones and home security. So home automation plus the home security side of things has been two of my main focuses. But yeah, the drone side with Mark, that'll be a very, very fun show. Something that I've gotten really deep into, done a lot of work with, and actually gone so far as to get FAA certified licensed for my drone. So
yeah, it's a call sign. Are you like Cougar or Maverick?
Well, the funny part is they teach you, like, part of the test is how to communicate with air traffic control. Yet they tell you, we don't want drone pilots taking up air traffic control time. Like, please, like, we have to teach you how to talk to them, but we don't want you talking to them.
It's only in an emergency. Only if the drone gets away.
Or to call ahead in, if you're going to be within 5 miles flying, you can call ahead and get permission. But besides that.
Cool. Yep. Well, we've got that scheduled. Actually, next week's open. We're going to catch up with you. Why don't we just spend, if you're going to be around next week, you, me, we'll just kind of catch up with your travels, talk about some stuff that's going on with us.
Perfect.
Mike and Mark are coming on to do drones. We got Valerie from Liberty, which if you guys remember, goes back to that. That's that company that's doing some alternative Uber stuff in rural communities. So that's pretty cool. Rich Hay will be here on the 13th. Rich is going to talk all things Windows, and we're going to talk about the creators update. So we're kind of hoping the creators update, that's the newest, biggest Windows update for the year that's coming out. We're kind of hoping it'll be out and available for download. And that would be April 13th. They did some foreshadowing of it that it would be available in March, but I don't know. We'll see. It's been a rough start. So we'll see how that goes. And so we've got those shows coming up, and then pretty soon it's May, and then it's summer, and then it's Christmas, and then it's 2018. Mike, where did the year go?
I don't know. I seriously, when I saw it was March, I was shocked. And then I saw that it was March, 16th? I was even more shocked. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, well, Emily will have a baby here some point this year too, and we'll have to have her back on and talk a little bit about baby tech. Some baby tech.
I'm all about the baby tech right now. That's like, it's coming in hot. It's coming in real hot.
Drones, home security, baby tech. That's kind of where
it's my life right now.
That's where you're living. Well, remind everyone, if you haven't, if you've thought about supporting us, if you want to support the show, you can use the Patreon link that's available out there. And of course, we appreciate any support that you do. Go to theoutreachguy.tv. Just look for the Patreon link on the right hand side. Click it. We have $1 and $5 plans. No pressure. Just if you want to do that, you're welcome. And we appreciate the supporters that do this. Well, you can, don't forget, you can contact me with feedback. And we love your feedback. I love your feedback. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can find me on Twitter @JayCollison, and many of you have. I want to remind you that the theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. That's Christian. You saw him last week. He was on show 300 as we celebrated 300. Mike, I'm sorry we couldn't get you on 300 last week. I really tried. I was like, is there any way?
Yeah. No. We, I didn't even have my computer with me.
That's okay. Yeah. So Christian was on, of course, last, did a great job. He's just the guy. You go two questions and boom, he's gone. It's an hour later. So he does such a great job. Of course, he's behind Maple Grove Partners. So you can get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people you know and you trust. Plans as little as $10 a month to get a whole bunch of stuff out of that. MapleGrovePartners.com. Hey, have you heard from Roger at WLMN Radio recently? Is he still...
I have not.
Still broadcasting? Well, if he is, Grafton, West Virginia, we thank Roger for his for them playing. Is that a low power FM station? I've been wondering.
Yes. Know? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it is low power, right in that little area,
just in Little Grafton. So
yep, and then online they stream it. You know, online.
Awesome, Roger. Thanks for streaming us there. Appreciate it. And don't forget, you can listen to Home Gadget Geeks on Android or iPhone app. Both versions are available. They're for free if you want to download them. Best way to listen to Home Gadget Geeks on the road. We want to thank LastPass for their sponsorship. We got Amber coming up too from LastPass. We'll get caught up with them. Lots of stuff going on with LogMeIn, and I think they're a Cisco company now. So we'll figure out what's going on at LastPass when we get Amber back on. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv live. We're at 301, and before we know it, we'll be at 600. If we do 300 more together, Mike, maybe 7 years from now, by the way. That's a long time to be podcasting. We're out here every Thursday night. Again, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, now at theaverageguy.tv/live. Thanks to all those who showed up in the chat room. Kat, thank you for being out there as well. And we'll make sure we get you back on. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.